Rentals, every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Come on over, Arizona, 10 o'clock, the open home hour of Rosie on the House. Our home is open to you, the Arizona homeowner, whatever you want to talk about, your home, castle, or cabin. There's multiple ways you can join the conversation. You can do the pot, plain old telephone line, known in the radio industry. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions, 411-923. Or if you'd like to shoot a picture or a little video, you can also email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com if that helps you explain the project that you're working on. And sometimes it does help us to understand the condition of the existing material that we're trying to solve, whether it's wood fascia, post beams, drywall condition, cabinet condition, flooring condition, stains of whatever. When we had a call last hour, Deanne, who had another question for her friend, that was her husband was the handyman of the home forever. And we often hear this, you know, where, well, he's aged out of being able to do a lot of the things that he used to be able to do. So now they're trying to find other people to handle it. But and there's the same time in that sense where when you've been the handyman forever, you have a hard time letting that go and justifying hiring somebody else in or, you know, being able to allow that to happen. And it was in particular for some countertop work for granite. And in that case, you need to find a granite specialist. That wasn't something that, you know, a handyman would do. Those granite countertops come in huge solid slabs. They require specialty tools and training. Yeah, that one little mess up on that, that's a really expensive repair to swallow. So there is the feature on our website, rosieonthehouse.com, where you pick certified partner. You choose the category you're looking for, put the zip code of the residence you're looking to have the job done in search, and then by geolocation, it'll show you partners in that trade that have come through our screening process, which is licensed, bonded, insured, and in business 5 years minimum, to even be able to apply if you meet those requirements. Then you go through step two of the process where it goes through background checks, customer surveys, reviews, credit checks, financial stability. And at that point, if you pass all those things, then you're invited to join the network, at which point you have to sign a code of ethics and a written complaint resolution policy. So should we ever end up with an issue, sometimes techs make, you know, are human. We all make mistakes. At a point, something may or may not happen. What's the process to go through? And for everybody calling in, we don't have a call screener today, so just hang tight. We've got a couple people calling in, so we'll be screening the calls during the break and then getting to, you know, there'll be a little bit of a time lapse here, but we'll still get every question that comes in answered. So in that regard, one of the things we are looking for, concrete and masonry, those are two categories we struggle with because a lot of times people are just looking for repair work. And to do concrete and masonry repair, that's not a very easy business to be profitable in. You know, somebody, you might need two or three blocks of CMUs repaired from somebody backing into the corner of a garage or hitting your fence or hitting your mailbox, or I'm just looking to have this section of my concrete walkway replaced. That's something that, man, I don't even know how to strip price for it where it's reasonable and yet you could stay in business because of the amount of tools and equipment that it takes to really do those jobs right. So there are guys that have been very successful. The gentleman we've been using and referring for many years retired. I was going to say December, but I think it's been a whole year.
Yeah, it's been a year.
December.
So, I hate telling people I don't have anybody.
I know.
We try really hard to fill all those categories. And sometimes the smaller the job and the farther out you are, those are two really difficult scenarios for us. So, you know, if you do need a handyman, just a general handyman, it's nice to have two or three things saved up so that when you have them out, you can really get a lot done, you know, and accomplish that, having a better space in place.
We're also looking for iron workers, fabricators for gates, rails, fencing, staircase, those types of applications. And then service guys, and particularly landscape service and pool service. Most of those companies have a very strict working radius. You know, they might only service 10-mile radius, 20-mile radius. Most of the companies that will say, hey, we do pool service valley-wide, those are a lot of times chain, big corporate guys that quality control doesn't really match up with Rosie on the House. We like to find locally owned guys that have they're in it for the customer service first, not as, you know, profit first, customer second. So when it comes to landscape and pool service contractors that come out and do regular maintenance, cleaning, their travel radius. And when we had done it before with a pool guy, he spent half the time, you know, he covered about a quarter of the metropolitan area. So one third of the calls he had to turn away. And he's like, this isn't working for me because I spent a third of my, you know, three quarters of my time with your customers turning them away. And it's just, so we're like, okay, we've got to do this again. But to do it, we've got to get two or three other guys so we have complete coverage before we launch that category on our website. So we're working on that now with pool maintenance guys and landscape maintenance guys, and also locksmith. North Valley Locksmith does a great job covering Cave Creek to Tempe, but there's areas on the outskirts of Side East and West that just doesn't make sense, you know, for a rekeying a front door, a 30-mile trip charge really outprices the project for the homeowner. So we're looking for locksmiths on east and west sides of the metropolitan area. You would apply at rosieonthehouse.com. Certified partner, mouse over at the tab that drops down, says apply to become a contractor. You can click on that, and we'll get the application. Make sure you meet the preliminary requirements. You do that, you get part two of the application. We also have a growing audience on YouTube here at Rosie on the House. I was doing some updating just since December. We've had over 180 views on our highest viewed video, which is how to fix a ghosting door, a door that doesn't stop swinging. You know, you open it and it automatically closes.
Do you know what? I have one of those in my house, Romy. Maybe I should have Rosie watch the video he made, huh?
Well, it's like less than 3 minutes. You could watch it and do it. I mean, it's easy enough that,
okay,
you know, if you can swing a hammer, you can fix the problem.
All right.
We've got over 400 comments on it, over 5,000 likes, and in the 7 years it's been online, we made $1,400 off of it.
Oh, awesome. I thought you were going to say $14 or something.
So you could live off of $1,400 over a seven-year span,
there
right?
There you go. We just like providing information. It's fun for us, too, when people benefit. There's a lot of great comments. Like, thank you so much. I've been dealing with this for so long or whatever. It's fun for us.
And I haven't even figured out. They don't even pay you directly. It's like your estimated revenue is this, but you can't ever cash it out. So I don't know how it all quite
works.
Sounds
good on paper.
So it's, and one of the other elements that we do is we'll take video recording from the broadcast and different guests that we have in studio, and we'll cut specific talking points that somebody might be searching for, like what's the difference between a licensed and unlicensed handyman? Well, last hour response crew was in studio. That part where we're talking about the license requirements for a handyman will go up on that channel. So then that would be searchable content that people can find. And we usually don't go over 3 minutes. We try to keep it 60 seconds or less, but there's some elements and details of our home that can't be explained in 60 seconds, so they might end up being 2 or 3 minutes, but it's one way that people can find specific elements. Like I said, if you're searching for it and didn't hear it on Rosie on the House, you could find it. If you did hear it on Rosie on the House and you're like, I don't have time to go through the 45-minute podcast, I'm looking for this specific answer, I don't remember, those keywords can easily come up in the YouTube Shorts playlist that we have, and each hour is its own playlist, so it's pretty easy to find content that way. So it's always working to find ways to provide the information to the homeowner. And the 80s, when Rosie started this, people would sit in their lazy chair on a physical landline and wait 45 minutes on hold.
True story.
And the calls, you were clear. You know, now we get a call. It's a cell phone. They're driving around. They're out and about.
They don't have time. They have 2 seconds to wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely different. Or so text options come available. Mm-hmm. Email's a factor now. We didn't podcast. You know, that was a new technology that came out. You know, how old's YouTube? It's like, it's not even 20 years old. You know, that didn't even exist. But where people consume content and get their education, we always try and make sure we've got a solution for those homeowners, you know, whatever media platform they're using for their information. It's Rosie on the House, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, and we will get to the calls right after this. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. Gregory's online, got a metal roofing question. We're going to get to it in just a moment, but there was an update on squatters, and we've got snowbirds getting ready to leave town, people leaving for vacation. I cannot believe there's even a rule that they would have to make laws that would allow you to come back and kick somebody out of your house that just decided to move in.
Yeah, so the issue has been that when the police are called, then there's someone in the house that says it belongs to them. So it becomes a civil matter because they cannot prove in the moment who the house belongs to. So there was a nice bill presented, and House and Senate both voted for it. It went before the governor, and it was vetoed. I was really surprised. I actually threw my notes away because I thought, hey, this is a no-brainer. We'll get this passed. Excuse me, but it didn't. So it'll come up again next year for a vote. You might want to let your governor know if you wish that had passed. It's the squatter law, and it would allow when the police come to the house, all you have to do is have a signed affidavit that the house belongs to you. So anyway, you can see that all online in the big Google machine, as Rosie calls it. But in the meantime, we have so many people who leave for the summer. All the lucky ones get to get out of the heat for the summer. And so we like to just tell people some of the main things that you can do. You just need to make your house look occupied. So one of the things you can do, of course, is all the traditional things. Stop your mail. Stop your newspapers. Make sure that you have your regular lawn service come by. If you're at all techie or you have a grandkid or something, put lights in the house that are turn on at different times of the day and night. Turn a radio on, turn a TV on, turn a different TV on. Just different things to make it look like somebody has been there. And really, the extra expense of having someone to watch your home is worth it. Maybe have them come by once a week, just make sure everything's going as it should. Come in the house, look around. We do that when we're gone. We have doggies we leave so that we have dog sitters that come in and watch the house and stuff, and that's really helpful. But you just want to make sure that people are coming and going, or that at least looks like that is the case. So anyway, just be careful if you're leaving. Don't assume your house will be okay if you're gone. I did not see. I called our city police. They have not seen any cases, but it is still going on across the country, and there are states that have passed this law, these squatter laws, to help you protect your home.
We're going to have to update our article about what to do when leaving your home for the summer.
Yeah. One other layer you can do is you can put your house on vacation watch with your local police, and you have to tell them who to expect to be there, like, you know, who's going to be coming and going, and then that's okay. But if your home is... You know what else I thought, Romy? These Airbnbs. You know, if you have one in your neighborhood, it would be good to know who they are, and it'd be a little bit of work, but... You know, just to know when there's people scheduled to be there, so that when there was long lapses when people weren't there, that I don't know, if I was an Airbnb owner, I'd want to know that my home was okay. I guess cameras are one way to do that, like the Ring camera, you know, where you could check in, but you just can't leave property sitting.
Those are pretty popular. Those
we have a lot of them in our neighborhood, you know, and I can tell you just by looking that they are ones you have. You have them in your neighborhood, Egal?
Oh, yeah, I have one on my home, and we can install them for sure. But
Oh, you guys would install the Ring doorbell for somebody that thinks that sounds like a big job?
If you're just joining us, Egon Lampert of Response Crew Handyman is who you're hearing. He was our guest in the last hour and hanging out with us in studio here. Y'all do the rings pretty regularly?
Yeah, we install the rings. And we could, to piggyback on that conversation, the lights that go on and off, we can install switches that are smart switches. Download an app, you program it whenever you want it to go on. It could go on dusk and dusk to dawn. So you could set that very easy. I mean, just you could do it yourself or reach out to us, and we're happy to help.
That's excellent.
Very good. And it's responsecrew.com. Y'all service Phoenix and Tucson.
Yep, Phoenix, surrounding cities, Tucson and surrounding cities. I think recently there was an issue in Scottsdale with a lot of break-ins. I didn't follow up on what happened with that at the end, but Jennifer, you're so right. We want to make sure that your house is seems to be occupied during the summer months.
And talk to your neighbors. You know, just put all the layers on that you can.
Forever finding ways to just.
You know, Rosie really likes that Next Door app. And you can see what's going on in your neighborhood without a lot of effort. You know, hey, I saw this guy on the corner, or I saw this extra car. So, you know, to be on that too and just kind of keep an eye on what's going on in your neighborhood is another layer.
Yeah, all the lights in your house, the garage lights, the on your stairs, in the path, all of those lights should be on a timer going on and off regularly. The light in your living room, the windows lit towards the street should be on a timer too, especially when you're away.
Motion detector lights are good too.
So, Amanda wrote in with a kind of a story that we don't like to cover bad news here. She's in Peoria. Had a landscape maintenance contractor that decided to hire to do some other work on the home. Was good, got all the materials, all the drawings laid up. First week went great. Now I only see him every now and then. He's not answering phone or text. And I'm stuck with this half-done project. That's tried to call another landscape company, but was told they don't use existing materials or come into projects that somebody else had done. And that is a very hard thing because as a contractor, when you complete that job, you've got to be able to warranty it for 2 years. Well, if it was somebody worked that another contractor had done, well, it doesn't matter. You finished the job. So now, you know, you're liable. So it's very hard to do that. And what it sounds like is it's a landscape contractor, maintenance guy, that just got in over his head. Sure, I could do this easy enough. And gets into it and realizes this is more than I've got the capacity to do. This is taking me longer. I've got these other maintenance contracts that I have with these other homeowners I've got to get to. The really aggravating thing, she saw him working on a neighbor's home, went over there and said, hey, what's up? He's like, well, I've got some personal issues. But he's obviously working on your neighbor's home, so I don't know how bad the personal issue is that it prevents him from doing work on your home versus your neighbor's home. So that's just one of the things. But we're not the registered contractors, so we don't have any authority to do anything unless it's a contractor from the network. So unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do in that situation. Greg has a metal roofing question. We're trying to get a roofing lifeline. Work that out, bottom of the hour news, and come back with it. Greg's called in, and he's got a metal roof question. We're going to bring him on the line. I was hoping to do that actually a little bit sooner, but he's got a metal roofing issue, and there is one partner on our network, Canyon State Roofing, that is our metal roofing expert. In fact, we found him because we were looking for a metal roofing contractor, and we called our roofing guys and said, hey, we need somebody that can do metal roofs. It's not neither one of them did it. They both recommended Jim. So I reached out to Jim and said, hey, you're going to be our metal roofing guy. So it took a second. We've got Jim on the line to help answer Greg's question. Greg, go ahead and explain the issue you're having with your roof.
Hey, Greg. Hi there. Thanks for being there.
No problem.
What's up? A metal roof up north, and it's creating problems with the fascia. The water's getting behind the drip edge and rotting the fascia, and usually in the deck areas. I know I got ice bridging going on, but besides that, I noticed this morning when I got up and I looked, there was some ice formed on the roof last night, and it was melting. I could kind of watch it go underneath the between the drip edge and the roof, because what they did when they constructed the roof, they made the edge of the roof flat edge level with the drip edge that goes up underneath. And so somehow the water is getting behind there and then dropping back behind the fascia.
And how far north are we talking?
6 to 800 feet. We're talking Overgaard.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, it might be the ice dams. In fact, I'm sure that's contributing big time, but it just sounds like the edge detail. So did they... It's hard to do it on the radio, but what does the edge detail look like? Did the panel just come up to the edge and then they fastened it, or did they crimp it around the drip edge? Can you explain what that looks like?
There's no crimping. The only crimping is the standing seam, if that makes sense. And then they have screws at the edge. And like I said, the metal roof is right at the edge, same edge as the drip edge. So they didn't overlap it at all. There's no overlap.
So it sounds to me like that was a less than perfect install at the edge.
Yeah.
If you're seeing fasteners at the edge, that just opens up a whole bunch of stuff as far as ice dams, about water weeping back behind. You know, all that type of thing. It kind of has to be torn apart and that edge redone some way. There's a couple of different ways to do it. We could slide a sleeve up in there. If there's no overhang on the field metal, it's going to be kind of hard to do any crimping. Probably the best thing you could do is, if Romy can give you the information, if you can get a hold of me, send me some pictures. I could probably help you best that way.
Pictures I can send you.
Yeah. 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 I think we could probably come up with a solution. Hopefully it's a simpler one.
Well, very good, Jim. I know you and Robin were driving, so thanks for taking time to help us out with Greg. We'll make sure we get y'all connected so you can look at those pictures and help get that issue through. And metal roofing, not a common thing you see in Arizona, but man, It's a beautiful roof, and it's a lifetime roof if you got the right application.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to seeing you here June 1st. You'll be in studio with us talking roofing ahead of the rain season. So you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you here in about a month.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, Romy.
Thanks, Jim. Jim of Canyon State Roofing, thanks again for taking your time. In the third segment here of our Open Home Hour, we'd like to cover our weekly to-do, and it's something that's designed to help you take care of a maintenance element around your home, castle, or cabin one time a week, just to keep up with everything that our homes require. Today, our weekly to-do, specifically if you're following along in your Rosie on the House homeowner handbook, it's shade cools.
Yeah, we did something.
The
key word. It is. We did something a little different this year. We linked three whole articles in there. So if you go to the website and look up that DIY or just hit your newsletter, you'll see three different angles on the shade. One is kind of a technical article about shade, like how you would find hot spots. Rosie loves those little laser guns, pointing and see what the temperature is. So
the infrared,
yes,
temperature gauge.
Yeah, so you can. Teaches you how to use that to find the hot spots. That's one of the articles. Hang on, I'm going to
one of the points in the article.
Yeah, one of the points. I was going to click through to that one.
The temperature gun can help you identify, like Jennifer said, where there might be voids in your insulation. Now, they actually have, in a home energy audit, infrared cameras that are a lot easier as opposed to just a single point laser where you got to constantly be going across your roof to see if you've got a clean level of insulation blanket.
Well, Rosie's a huge fan of the energy audits, for sure. So we also talk in the article about using the use of sunscreens. There's a proper way to install a sunscreen. There needs to be a gap between the window and the screen. So we talk about installing those.
When you look at it, so many things, you know, the seam is hidden on a finished product, right? Except in sunscreens. You want to see the the rubber that holds the screen in the frame, the seam. You want to see that facing out, which is counterintuitive because you're like, well, it looks so much cleaner if you put it the other way. All you see is the aluminum. You don't see the spline that's holding it in. But in that application, the way most homes are built, that's going to put the screen right up against the glass, which is basically rendering the sunscreen ineffective. It has to have that airspace off the glass to create any type of insulation value.
The other thing we talk about in the article is check your energy supplier for rebates. They give rebates on and off for like APS, SRP, TEP. They will give rebates for shade. That might be for your sunscreens. That might be for planting trees or even adding shade to, you know, structures.
Well, and a lot of times I know, and particularly SRP, always has an annual tree giveaway where they'll give you, you know, mesquite saplings to start. If you come out and learn about the right way to plant it and how to plant it, where to plant it to provide that shade to your home, cutting down on the heat gain that's created, thus cutting down on the amount of air conditioning required to keep your home at your preset temperature.
There are also some municipalities will offer things. I know Mesa right now is offering money back for trees that you plant.
Definitely no shortages of options out there. So if you are looking at planting it, and mesquites are popular because they're obviously fast growing and less water using than most other trees out there. You can plant it and have a shade coverage, you know, in a very short period of time, whereas, you know, something that might be like a, you know, your live oaks or your red push pistache that are very popular, and not so much the live oaks anymore, but red push pistache is becoming a very popular tree.
Well,
it's slow growing. Mesquites, low water use, fast growing.
Good point. And we also linked into the article an interview we had with Justin Rohner of Agriscaping when he was talking about shade trees. He had a couple of really great points. Best to plant, most helpful to plant on the west or south side of the house where there's, of course, more sun. And also his point was to use deciduous trees so that when the leaves come off in the winter, you get the warmth of the sun. But in the summer, they leaf out and you have the shade. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. And he had three deciduous trees he recommends, the peach, the fan, Tex ash, and the mulberry. So you have to be a little willing to keep up, clean up a leaf litter, but that's all right.
A lot of cleanup on mulberry. And one thing that is a misnomer, it is okay to plant mulberry. And what you buy at the nurseries are, I believe it's the female mulberry. You can't have the male mulberry. Because there was a time that
are they allergens or something?
Right. The amount of pollen that they would create, they put a ban on them. And a lot of people just thought that meant mulberry in general, but it was the male one. You can still have a female mulberry, and they are. They're not as fast growing as mesquites, but if you're looking for a big shade area, that's a really hard shade tree to beat. But like you said, it is deciduous, so don't put it next to a pool. Prepare for a lot of leaf drop. If you do your own composting, big, good supply of leaves come fall.
Now, for sure.
And sometimes what I've noticed with ours, they don't always go 100% deciduous. I might have 25% of the leaf still on by the time they start sprouting out in spring. But this last winter was the first time in a couple of years where I got like 100% leaf drop.
Interesting. One of the other articles, this is really a full article, you guys. You got to look in there if you're looking at reasons or ways to create shade. This one is called Right Plant, Wrong Place, and it walks you through the places and things to think about if you're placing a tree. Thinking about the end game, how big is it going to be, thinking about water use, spaces, positioning, proximity to the house. So all really good things. And then the last article we linked was a very recent one that we had done with Booth Built Patio. And it's about all the different shade cantilevers and patios and awnings that they put in.
And those cantilever shade structures, if you're looking for something on a pool application in particular, that is a great option that doesn't provide any of that leaf drop that you then have to, you know, more maintenance for your home. Those cantilever shade structures, you can put fans underneath them.
Kitchens.
And there's certain times in the year, believe it or not, the water is not refreshing in the pool. It gets so hot.
That's true.
Those, in particular, it's not necessarily what the temperature during the day is making it uncomfortable. I mean, that does have a factor. But it's the fact that it's so hot during the nighttime, the water the next morning when the sun comes up, you know, it's not cooling it from 75 degrees to 80 degrees. You know, you're starting with a pool temperature that might already be 82, 85, 83 degrees. We get a 110 plus day on that, you know, that water is going to heat up pretty quick. So shade is a wonderful solution, even if it's not that you're going to be able to swim in the whole pool, just being able to go have your sitting area.
Absolutely. Egal, you said there's some things that you guys do for shade in your services. What kind of things do you see being requested?
Primarily installing blinds and shade awnings. Mm-hmm. Any kind of window, not any kind of window treatment, but like the window treatments that you could purchase at a hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get a lot of requests to install that, and we're happy to do that primarily.
Perfect.
And if you excuse me, catch the last hour. This is Egal Lampert of Response Crew. We spent the whole hour talking about the technical aspects of a handyman. And if you want to catch up on that, you can go to rosieonthehouse.com. Homeowner Resources Radio. The podcast will be up here in about 2 hours. Speaking of shade, backyard structures, there is an educational course coming up.
Yeah, Rosie Wright, Design, Build, Remodel, is putting on a seminar May, time flies, May 15th from 11:30 to 1 at their studio, design studio on Shea, 6949 East Shea, and it's free. Just have to sign up at you can just go to rosiewright.com. or give them a call at their office. But it's now the cities are starting to let go of all the controls they had on casitas. Now you can have a full kitchen, which was not the case in the past. And a lot of people are very interested because it kind of helps to solve some of the housing issues people are having with the price of housing. Just a couple of things that we'll cover is the cost of drilling casita, permitting, utilities, site drainage, placement, setbacks, all the things you would need to know to get started.
1-888. So that's coming up in May?
May 15th.
And the website?
RosieWright.com.
All right. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Peggy, welcome to the conversation. How may we help?
I have a patio that goes across the back of my house. On top of it is a roof. And below that, there's a beam, a thick beam that holds up 4 columns. Above that beam, and until you get to the patio, there's a small strip of wood that's probably about 4 inches. That is disintegrating. So I don't know what type of person to call to replace that.
And the piece of wood you're talking about is the fascia board. That
I my knowledge is small, but I would say no. There's the big beam, and above it, it's as if it's a 4x4 of regular common wood, and that's why it's deteriorating before the other stuff.
And that's what gets the direct sunlight.
It only goes about 4. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually,
it's only about 4 inches long.
I've got a suggestion for you, but we also have Egal Lampert hanging out with us in studio today, and he's perked up here.
Yeah. Hey, Peggy. How you doing? I think I understood you correct. So you have the 4 posts that are holding up the roof, but before they touch the roof, actually, they're sitting on another post going, it's actually going horizontal, and it's maybe like a 4x4 or something like that.
And then above that, no, that's also like a, what is it, 10x10, same as the one that's holding up the roof. But above that, all the way across.
Right, so it's it's basically sitting across, and all four posts are connected to it?
More than one piece, but it goes all the way across.
Yeah, so a handyman could help you replacing that. Possibly a roofer could help you replacing that. If it's more of a smaller job for roofers who like to kind of take over a bigger project, but
that's something you could do.
Yeah, definitely. Response crew, our handyman service would help you replace that. Is it when you say deteriorated? Is it just weathered, like from the sun? It's the paint is peeling off, or is it?
It's more than that. It's like deteriorating.
Yeah, so it sounds like. Sounds like a project that needs to get done sooner than later. We gotta we'll hold your patio with we'll put temporary posts. We'll remove all the posts, take the beam off, replace it with a brand new one. That has to be sometimes depending on the lens. It has to be custom ordered from a wood shop. But we would plan that ahead of time. We would order it. It would be there. We actually like let the wood sits out there for a couple of days prior to the installation. It's coming from it just needs to kind of get used to the weather, and then we would install it.
Peggy, we'll give Egal your number, and we'll get in touch with you after the broadcast.
And you're right in the sense that a roofer would do that. But generally speaking, they only do that if they're replacing the roof. They don't. Their framing crew travels with their install crew. So when the demolition guys are done, all the roof's off. If you've got rotted sheets, roof sheathing somewhere, or fascia board, or eaves, their carpenter's there to replace all that, and he's working with the crew. They don't generally just come out and do that patio. So that is one area where a handyman can really step in if your roof is still in great condition.
Yeah, I understand the financial aspect from a roofer and what they're looking for, and that's perfect. That's why a handyman comes in, within roofing, things like posts and then also fascia board. That's what, we're specialized in, actually.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Rosie on the house. Hope you learned a thing or two.
And if you're looking for something to do around the great state of Arizona, the ArizonaStaycation.com is where you can sign up. Right now, it's past the 15th, so we're actually going to be pulling for Pine Strawberry area. Get up into the cool pines, coming into the summer heat. Great place. Charming little town to spend a nice Arizona weekend.